This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference in Florida, and I am with Christine Harris Butts, who is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Christina, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Well, Christina, thanks for sitting down with me. I know you've had an incredibly busy day. You're overseeing some policy that's very important to the cattle industry right now, and one of which hasn't been on the focal point to some extent on policymakers' minds because we've had to deal with debt reduction issues, but that's the Farm Bill. We're up for a 2012 Farm Bill. So what are some of the key issues, Christina, for the industry that we really need to see in this 2012 Farm Bill?
Well, just this morning in our ag policy meeting, our producers put forward what we're going to be calling a guidance document. And this guidance document is still the foundation is our policy that our grassroots and our members put forward at our annual meeting in the winter. And then again, can be ratified or changed at our summer meeting. But this guiding document is really kind of the highlights of what they want us to pursue in the Farm Bill. Again, it doesn't replace our current policy. It just kind of illustrates those priorities. And one of which is really kind of talking about the conservation funding of the programs that our producers participate in. Obviously, you're right about budget talks, and the dollar is only being cut more and more with a lot of these programs. So trying to figure out how we can maximize all these cost-share programs where producers do put in and government matches those dollars in terms of conservation and some of the programs and services they have on their ranches and operations. Another area that was really debated and discussed a lot about was research and production research on animal diseases, animal production measures, genetics, how we can continue to use fewer natural resources to raise the most amount of meat possible to not only feed our country, but a growing population worldwide. So that was a priority that was talked about and discussed. Other issues that continue to really kind of pop up, obviously, talking about nutrition. The Farm Bill, a lot of people in D.C. joke around, is more of a nutrition bill because the majority of the funding does go to feeding programs that are administered by USDA, and really just trying to see what our priorities and our focus wants to be there. Our producers feel very strongly that the Department of Agriculture is the right agency to set forth our nutrition policy for Americans, and we just want to make sure that they've got the latest science and whatnot to back up to show that lean meat in the diet can help in reducing obesity and can help Americans achieve a great balanced diet. So I think as the Farm Bill discussion continues to move forward, you're going to see us engaging more actively on Capitol Hill with this guidance document now that we know where our producers' priorities really want to be focused.
So, Christina, walk me through this. So everybody's in session right now. They come back, and I think we're really going to start to hear conversations about the Farm Bill. But as a producer-driven organization and them having input, when you get to the Hill and you start sitting down and having conversations that focus on what came out of your guiding principles, if something's not working or if you feel that you need to add something, how do you go about making changes to that document and making sure that your lobbying stays on target for both your producers?
Absolutely. Well, the guidance document is kind of the highlights, but if there's not something that's in that document that'll be Farm Bill specific, we always go back to our policy book, which is very in-depth. It's something that is annually updated. You know, every 5 years, policies expire. Every year, producers can come forward and make changes or amendments twice a year, actually, to make them consistent and current. If we do find ourselves in a situation where we have absolutely no policy in our policy book or in the guidelines we put forward, we can actually weigh in with our executive committee and then kind of make a decision and have our producers dictate what path they want us to take. So not only is there the two times a year at our winter meeting, usually in January, February, and then again at our summer meeting where producers can make those policy changes. If there is an emergency, we can get our executive committee together and have those discussions and debates so they can direct us as lobbyists on the Hill. I think what's most important for people to know is me as a lobbyist, I don't decide what NCBA's policy is. It's our producers and our grassroots members who dictate my policies on Capitol Hill and how I argue and how I debate them and how I help educate members of Congress.
Great. Now, Christina, you also this afternoon spent quite a bit of time talking about policy as it relates to safety. And what are the safety concerns right now from a federal perspective, not necessarily from a consumer perspective?
Well, from a federal perspective, just really watching what the USDA's Food Safety Inspection Service does in terms of regulations. And I think it's important to note on the beef side, as well as all livestock and poultry, we're regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety Inspection Service. And we work closely with them to achieve a common goal, and that's producing the safest, most wholesome beef supply in the world. And last year at our annual, or earlier this year at our annual meeting, our producers brought forward some policies with regard to pre-harvest interventions, as well as to another pathogen known as non-Estec E. coli. And those are still some potential pathogens that could create and cause illnesses in humans, but they're not necessarily the O157H7 mutation or certain pathogen itself for that bacteria. So with this policy coming forward, they really wanted an update as to what the legislation looks like. Anytime that there is a food safety incident, whether it's a recall or illnesses, there's always someone in D.C. who has some new legislation that comes forward trying to solve those perceived issues, when in all actuality, the industry goes above and beyond to produce that safe product. I mean, it's their livelihood, and the last thing that they want is a product entering into commerce that could jeopardize the health of our consumers and our citizens. So our committee also talked a lot about research challenges and needs. We're fortunate to have a joint committee, so there's a lot of research focus there through the beef checkoff and where those dollars are going to go. And then the committee is always interested in what regulations and what legislation might be coming down the path and where those knowledge gaps are, so we can work with the government, with the industry, as a producer group to accomplish those overall goals of safety.
So, Christina, what's next? Are you going to head back to the Hill in September and really start putting these guiding principles into action?
You are absolutely right. We have a big job to do. There's 92 new members of Congress, so we're still continually using our Beef 101, our educational campaign, just to educate on who the beef industry is, who NCBA is, and now we'll incorporate how these guiding principles affect the beef industry and where we want these members of Congress to be in the Farm Bill discussions.
Well, it probably breaks all the rules on the Hill, but if you really want to educate them on beef, we should invite them to a summer barbecue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if we could do that, we surely would.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.